Our scripture reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. For cut it down, why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you. Please join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Keep us open now, humbled before you, simply to feel your presence, to be filled by your grace. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray it. Amen. I'm not sure if you ever had a favorite tree growing up. Did you ever have a favorite tree that you liked to climb in? Or maybe you hung a tire on for a swing? Or maybe you tied a rope on and you went running and dashing and screaming and jumping into a river? You might be driving through a river whenever you go home, but that's okay. We'll have teams of people in Jeeps driving around to pull you out if you get stuck. A favorite tree. Something that we can imagine. A tree. The majesty of it. Thinking about different kinds of trees. The redwoods. Some of the large, incredible trees that have been growing for years and years and years. And yet today, we're thinking specifically about a what? A fig tree. Fig tree. Yeah, absolutely. If you were living the good life in ancient Israel, you probably had a fig tree. Now, the terrain, the temperature is similar to what exists in Yuma. In summer, particularly. Some of you are smiling because you're thinking, "I'm leaving in April. I'm leaving in May." We're not smiling because we want you to stay year-round. It's not that bad. In fact, I'll even come and plant a fig tree in you. No, I'm not going to do that. For shade. But that's whenever you were living the good life in Israel, boy, I tell you what, you had a fig tree, and it was for the shade and for the coolness and to be able to protect yourself from the sun. However, that was not really the primary purpose that Jesus was speaking about in referencing a fig tree this morning. The primary purpose that he was referencing was to produce figs. Now, whenever you see a fig growing off of a fig tree, it's this connection to the branch. And then this kind of bulb that grows off of it. And in that is the fig. The fig, however, cannot grow if it's not connected to the branch. In fact, there's no such thing as figs growing miraculously without being connected to the source. It's pretty clear, isn't it, what the message is. If we are not connected to God through Jesus Christ and by God's Holy Spirit, if we are not connected, then we are just going to be dried up old figs. Now, listen to me. I'm not calling anybody here a dried up old fig. I'm just telling you that right now. Don't leave worship today saying, "You know what the pastor called me." And I don't want you to look at somebody and say, "Are you a dried up old fig?" or anything like that. You see, I didn't have you look at each other do that. You see that? If you're not connected, however, to God through Christ, there's no life. There's no growth. There's no fruit. Jesus is sharing here that even when we have ignored God, even when fruit hasn't been produced out of our lives of discipleship and out of our saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying, you're still going to have another chance. You're still going to have another opportunity. If you turn back to God, repent. Repent kind of has a negative connotation, but it isn't bad at all. In fact, it's just turning back to the source of love and grace. It's turning back and facing God, looking God in the eyes, if we can imagine that, looking back there and saying to God, all right, let's try it your way now. And what does God do? He receives us. He says, wonderful. I love you. You are my child. I've been waiting for you. I've been pursuing you. This is all biblical truth here that I'm sharing with you right now. This is all something that's conveyed in His holy word, that love letter that we call the Holy Bible. And when we turn back and we face God and we simply say, thy will be done, God receives it. Not saying, you blew your chance, I'm done with you, I'm going to wash my hands of you. Thank God, and I say that reverently, we have a God of grace and forgiveness and second chances. However, we must be willing to put some of ourselves into it. It's not just all up to God. We must be willing to enter into it fully. And when we turn back to God, to really mean it and say, yes, this time I'm going to stay connected to you, Heavenly Father, through my relationship with you, through Christ and by your Holy Spirit. I will be reading your word. I will be doing devotional times. I'll be attending worship. I'll be participating in ministry. And in all of those ways, the nutrients flow into us, the fruit. God continues to nurture us then and help us to grow stronger and produce something that the world sees as His church. And the world sees as a source of place and welcome. And the world sees as a place of ministry and reconciliation and love. But if we're not open to God, none of that is going to happen. There's a disaster also that is mentioned in this scripture passage. Pontius Pilate, nasty individual. Really, really bad guy. Very cruel and had been putting down riots, which had happened. They were an occupied people and he didn't mind doing it and did whatever it took to put down those riots of people rising up. And he'd mixed the blood of the Galileans who had been executed, not just killed, but executed with the blood of their Jewish sacrifices. It's offensive, it's disgusting to think about, and yet it's referenced in Scripture, Pilate mixing this human blood with the animal blood of the sacrifices. Brutal. Horrible. And Jesus says, I know what some of you folks are thinking. I know that some of you are thinking that these Galileans were killed and then their blood mixed with the blood of sacrifices because they were worse sinners than others. Aren't some of you thinking that way? Now, this is a paraphrase. Don't try to find this in the Bible. This is a paraphrase. I want to be clear with you, Jesus says. That's a lie. It's not true. Just because people suffer a nasty, horrible death, that does not mean that they're bigger sinners than everyone else. This is simply not true. There was a bit of an understanding in that community, in the Jewish faith even, that things like that happened because of sin. And regretfully, that carried over into the Christian church, and in fact, there are places even today that would still believe that if something bad happens to someone, well, it must have been something that they caused, must have been a sin that they had committed. And yet it's just not true. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is bringing out these stories and connecting it with the image of the fig tree and the fruit being produced, the good fruit, because he's making the point that we all have to make a decision. There's a decision that we are all called to make as Christians, and that decision is whether or not we are going to turn our lives over to God. And the sooner the better. Certainly, the person who is at the end of the journey, who says, "Lord, I am a sinner," confesses, offers their life to God, and says, "I seek to be in a saving relationship with you through Christ," and it's right at the end of their physical journey, certainly they're going to be received into grace. But why wait? Why wait? Maybe you've been kind of lethargic in your Christianity. Maybe you've sought to be renewed in your faith. Or maybe today you really haven't done that. Handing your life over and saying with those words of commitment and humility, "Lord, I'm yours. I seek a deeper relationship with you through Christ. I want to grow. I want to be nurtured. I want to be connected to that branch that sustains and gives life and hope and is a source of love and grace. I want that, God, and I want it today." That's all you need to do. Why not recommit today? Why not open yourself and hand it over to God once more? Today, God is waiting, and God is open to receiving all that you have to offer. Do we want to be the good fruit? Of course. But we must be connected to God. Today is one of those worship services where things are all connecting. Yeah, that special music, what the women sang, the other music, and the words that have been offered, it's all connecting, and it's all pointing us towards this table. Tasting of God's goodness, literally tasting of God's grace in communion. Not simply a reminder, but a signpost pointing us towards God, saying to us, "Here I am," saying to us, "This is given," saying to us, "You are my children, and I want you to be more connected with me." Isn't it great whenever we can share a wonderful meal with someone? Sit around their table. God has offered us this meal as his children to receive, to remind us of how connected we need to be with him.